You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 278.
I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
That's right. And we haven't recorded in a while, so we've got a lot of things to talk about. We've got a 1E spoiler for a crossover set. We've got some Dragon Con catching ups to do. We actually had a tournament that both of us attended.
Say, not only was there a tournament, we both went to it.
Yeah, and we had triples afterward. So we'll talk about that probably for a while. Did anything else happen in the last few weeks? Cards have come out. Spoilage.
We got a date for a crossover.
Yeah.
Which is counting down very quickly. Lots of stuff happening. So, let's dive in.
All right. Let's talk about Dragon Con, since that's happened the longest ago. Do you remember everything that happened?
I don't know if I remember anything that happened. It kind of like, I was swamped coming in, and then it all was a flash, and then I was recovering. That was a lot of fun. It was a little more pressure this year because one of my major costumes got delayed to the last minute. I'm used to constructing things and sewing things, and I was having a real hard time wrapping my mind around distressing things because my Mad Max costume was all about tearing things apart and making things look weathered and, you know, cutting into things and being very it was very counterintuitive for what I'm used to doing. So, but once I got into it, it was a lot of fun. I did a lot of sanding, dragging my leather jacket behind my car.
How'd that work out, by the way? I was worried that it was just going to have one spot was going to be worn too much, but it bounced around enough that I got a lot.
You know, it did really well for general wear and tear. The tutorial I read was very good about suggesting evenly weighting it, and so I got an old like drawstring bag, running bag that they give out at races, and filled it with towels, and that weighted the body really well. And then I stuffed a big rolled up towel in each of the arms, and so it just kind of lied flat pretty easily. And then, you know, I would go around for about an hour, and then I flipped it over and did the other side. So that was nice, even aging, you know, quick aging. And then I got it home in the garage and took a Dremel to some of the seams and the edges and to get the, you know, that really worn, the bits that get worn more than everything else.
Yeah, sure.
And I was really happy with it, you know, and then I, you know, I look at some shots of his jacket and some of them are really, you know, like he clearly got dragged along one shoulder at one point and there, you know, like there's a rips in, you know, one of his arms is completely cut off and the other one has got a big rip in it and you have to, you know, sit stitched back together, and so I get to do all that, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. And since I'm talking about that costume, even though it was one of the last ones I wore, that we went to a photo shoot, we're like, wow, there's got to be a Mad Max photo shoot, it'll be fun, you know, there'll be some people there, it's pretty popular this year. I think that might be the biggest thing I've ever seen. It was huge. We had so many people, we had to move from the smaller staging area to the largest staging area. They have these big steps outside one of the back steps of one of the hotels, and that's where all the big photo shoots happen.
Good place for pictures, yeah.
Yeah, and there were, I'd estimated about 150 while we were there, and I counted one of the group shots, and it was at 149. So, yeah, really amazing. Lots of great costumes. Lots of great photographers took amazing costumes. If you've seen my Facebook page, especially Caitlin had a whole group of wives, all five wives from the movie, and the shots of them are particularly good. We'd staged some scenes from the movie with the Furiosa that was there, with my big claw face mask and, you know, being yanked on the chain, and it was just a really good time, and that was probably one of the highlights amongst a bunch of highlights we did. Costumes from The 100, I've mentioned a couple of times, from Comic-Con. Some actors were there. Unfortunately, the two actors who are the characters we costume as that were going to be there, we were going to get a photo shoot with them, or photo op, and one dropped and then the other dropped, and we were sad. But there were still other actors, and they appreciated it. We had a great costume group for that photo shoot, and a lot of fun panels. We did a really obscure costume pairing for the Cutting Edge. If anybody remembers that ice skating movie from the 90s, it's one of the reasons I met Caitlin. And so we did costumes for that. And like, we were expecting like 3 people to get it, and like dozens and dozens of people not only got it, but were really, really excited. We did a fantastic Avatar photo shoot in which we had 3... almost a full cycle. Our Kyoshi dropped at the last minute. I was so sad, but we had Korra, Aang, and I was Roku.
Oh.
So we got some nice shots of the 3 of us kind of, you know, in perspective.
Yeah.
Like down that. The line of avatars. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. We had almost 75 people for that photo shoot. And some of my friends, both the Korra and the Aang that we did a separate shoot with after, or friends of mine. So that was really cool. Just a lot of really fun, bizarre groups. We had an almost record number. Well, we at the last minute, a friend who subbed in for Indy last year in our Indy group, because our original Indy was back, Caitlin's brother rejoined us as Indy. He threw together Marcus Brody costume, which you'd be like, what's a Marcus Brody costume even look like? But as soon as you see him, you're like, that's it. That's why he's got the light hat and the sort of sand colored suit. And he is an actor by trade. And so he came in, and even though he's like 30 years too young to be Marcus, you immediately bought it because he was.
Oh, what happened? We immediately bought it.
You know, anybody speak English here?
Oh, nice.
And he hung around with Henry, and he did it. It was fantastic. My only regret, probably for the whole weekend, is that we only got to do that group for about 2 hours in the evening, and we just couldn't schedule it during the day when they were doing photo ops, because Julian Glover, who played Donovan, was there, and I just really, really wanted to go get a picture with him with our whole group. But we couldn't even find another time when 3 of us were together, much less all 5 of us. So it just didn't happen. Hopefully they'll bring him back another time and we can get that.
That's funny. That would have been a good one. Any Trek-related sightings?
There were some Trek panels. I caught Terry Farrell's panel on DragonCon TV. And unfortunately, the feed was weird, and they cut it off halfway and then started it over from the beginning, and we couldn't watch that. Still some weird issues with Garrett Wong moderating all the panels, since he is the... I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but...
He's kind of taking it over, right?
Yeah, he's kind of taken it over, and he has been the moderator, and he's gotten better about not making... when I was on... you know. This is the DS9 panel. You don't need to talk about when you were on Voyager, but some interesting bits, a little more candid responses to from Terry about Dax being killed and getting completely cut out of the show, and there was not a lot of heavy Trek news this year, just because there's not a lot of heavy Trek going on, but that was kind of cool to see.
Was that just filling in time as you were recovering from other things that you said you watched it on the closed circuit TV? That's what they broadcast that to all the hotels, right?
Yes, all of the host hotels have what they call DragonCon TV, and they've actually expanded it to 2 channels now, which is pretty cool. So they have live broadcast and then rebroadcast panels from throughout the day on the current channel, and then they have DC TV Land, where they play panels from previous Dragon Cons. So, like, if a rebroadcast of a panel you were at is on, and you don't want to watch it again, you can watch the other channel, and maybe there's a different panel that was on. So That was cool.
Neat. All right. Did you see any of the folks that were playing Trek, or did you stop by?
I stopped by exactly twice. And both times I was able to find their area because they had a nice banner hanging from the little, you know, just like the banner style posters. Little said, you know, Star Trek customizable card game hanging from the little, the drop ceiling panel. But both times I went by, there was not anybody there playing.
Oh.
I did see some people playing My Little Pony. And I was almost stopped. The friend that I mentioned from Gen Con was there. She was there to play exclusively to meet people from the 100 and play My Little Pony. but I didn't get a chance to join. And at one point I was in costume, so it might have been weird anyway. It was right after the Mad Max shoot because the gaming area was right beneath that hotel. And we were also trying to find the blood drive, was also on that floor because all the Mad Maxes wanted to get a picture at the blood drive, which is funny if you've seen the movie.
Okay.
Because they string the bad guys capture him and string him up as a blood bag for their soldiers. And he spends about a third of the movie like that, and they constantly refer to him as blood bag. Come over here, blood bag. And so we were like, hey, all blood bags to the blood drive for a photo shoot.
All right. Well, have you recovered from your journey? Because you usually go a couple days before, a couple days after, right?
Yeah, and that has paid off. You know, we want to get there and relax, settle in, and then after it's over, have time to recover without, you know, I learned several years ago that if I come home the day of the last day of Dragon Con, I call in sick the next day anyway, so... It's easier to stay the extra day like we do at Gen Con, not have to fight with elevators and everybody else trying to check their luggage and, you know, get to the airport at the same time as everybody else, just relax and hang out and then enjoy it and then take off the next day, which is what I did. I would have gotten back in time for softball, but I told them that I would not be there on the off chance my flight got delayed, because as soon as I commit to that, then my flight would get delayed and they would be short a person. So I figured that was a bad idea.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been nice, relaxing. I even got a chance to, you know, we got that nice new workshop area in the garage after our renovation, which was fantastically useful getting costumes ready. Yeah, it's a huge advantage. Disadvantages, we now have a nice big expanded area in which we have to additionally clean up afterward.
I was say, you sounds like a big, nice dumping ground after you got back, too. All right, well, I can sadly close that tab. That's not important anymore. All right, well...
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, it was 14 innings. What do you want? People in Chicago are happy. After that weekend, we had a... We had a free weekend, and then last weekend was a 1E tournament. This was originally scheduled for a couple of weeks ago, but we couldn't get enough players. And we had 6 show up in at the Arby's on Saturday for a round of 1E. And I think everyone was playing a deck that was either new to them or at least everybody I played. Everyone sat down and was, all right, this is something new. We'll see how this goes. I played against you, I played against Johnny, and I played against JD. Did you get to play against JD? You didn't get to play against... We were planning on playing a round robin, but I think we decided that after the first round, and when we were making the pairings, we didn't do the, you know, round robin plan, where you rotate everybody around.
Especially with the small number of people, you have to do that, or you're almost certainly going to run out of rounds.
Yeah, you know, there's a chance you can get it right, but it didn't. We didn't even get to a fourth round. We got 3 rounds in, and then the pairings didn't work anymore, so that was it. I think by then I had played in 3 pretty rough games, and I wasn't completely overwhelmed with sadness that we were going to play triples instead. But it was already a long day. So JD was playing a Borg deck, which is the first for him. He got it from I think Jeremy Huth had one online that was they will be coming and assimilate, go back in time, stop First Contact, and then do a salvage starship or something for the win. All right. There was another objective in there in case, and in fact in this game, he did salvage starship first at Wolf 359 for 30 points, and then went over. Unfortunately, I killed his data in a random selection, his counterpart. So he had to just dig for one for a long time. And I don't think he ever drew into it. His Locutus and data were gone, so he wouldn't have had it to do Earth. I'm trying to remember what dilemma it was that got him, but I killed him with something, and he went away. He had recycled him using the of nines to get cards back in your deck, but he just wasn't able to go through it fast enough.
Yeah, that's like the one thing that is not a good way to pull out the counterparts.
Yeah.
And the queen.
Yeah, because they're. I mean, it's you only play with so many of them, and they're the one vitally important cog in the Stop First Contact deck, because you have to have the counterpart to get the to clear out the homeworld and then go back in time and take care of it. I was playing. I was also playing something different. I had originally printed this out to take with me to Gen Con, but I did not. I was playing too much Pathfinder. I didn't get a chance to play it. So, there's been some changes, like, you know, In the Zone is gone, and a couple other things have happened since I originally printed the deck out. So I made a few changes to it this time. That was one. I want to say there was another change or two I made. Oh, yes. The original deck list, so this is a Starfleet deck that uses a lot of Mako and Mirror Universe personnel. So lots and lots of backward compatible cards. And it has a lot of the standard, you know, Earth-based tricks you would find, like having the whales, and I think there were a lot. This is a kind of a standard Starfleet trick. It had a lot of what's the argument card? Parallax Arguers, so that you could play.
Yes.
You could play. You're either getting enough points that you only have to do two missions, or you're letting if your opponent lets you, you fuel the play engine by downloading Makos every turn, or playing Kalto to try to get rid of cards out of their deck, or any of the various other few things that are helpful, like Condition Red, which turns the Enterprise into a war machine.
So everyone, that was crazy.
So Enterprise says any of your command stars aboard who are Starfleet, add +1 to their attributes. And Condition Red is a 2E backwards compatible card that says any of your staff personnel are also command personnel. So pretty much attributes +1 for everybody on board. So the point of the deck, as I originally found it online, was you build a warship, a flagship, and you go hunt people down. So wherever you go, it had Bajoran wormholes, Mirror Universe wormholes, it had a mission of the Delta Quadrant, it had everything to go anywhere and take people out. So what did I play? I played against JD's Tactical Cube, which he attacked me at some point, and I didn't have enough to shoot back. I was a few points short. I played against Johnny's Voyager in the Delta Quadrant deck, which I was going, you know, he was pretty quick, and I was a little too slow, and it was never strategically advantageous to go and beat him up. Because he was made a point of never giving me any events to play. That was the other thing. Every one of my Parallax Arguers were 5 points. So I had about 30 points off of that. But
wow.
Yeah, that was just a decision he made. And he said, I've played the deck before, and this is how you do it. You don't ever give them any events. You let them get the points, because if you let them play events, then things are just going to start happening. The deck goes faster. You know, the wheels just start moving, and then you get a massive ship, and then you solve all your missions. And then I played against you, and you were also playing a Borg deck with 2 cubes running around that I couldn't do a thing about. So had I gone on, I would probably have played against Charlie, and if I heard properly, he was playing Hirogen, which would have been another battle thing to try. And then I don't know what Thomas was playing. You have to talk about that later. So that would have meant that maybe it was Cardassian Romulan or something.
Romulan Cardassian, which would have been tough again because he had many ships all the time.
Yeah. So it was a tough day, but you know, I wanted to play with all these personnel. Their personnel were looking at the design side, so I want to know how they work together and what the Makos did together. I was kind of not really impressed with the Makos. It was fun to download, you know, anybody you want. There were a couple engineers that were great to download for Visit Cocker Memorial. They all have interesting game text, and in this deck, you're always going to have at least three of them together, so usually they all turn on. I never really found any of them to be particularly useful. I think I used Sean Hawkins once to save somebody as he and someone else were randomly selected to disappear. I think it was Spatial Distortions or whatnot. So I was about to lose control of somebody or command of somebody. So he stopped and I didn't lose command of that person. But what hurt the most is I think I hit that in both of the games, except against you, I think. I hit that Spatial Distortions. Is that that's the one that was just recently errated, right? And came back. Two personnel cutting greater than 14. They're
fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was tough.
It's really not so bad if you're playing Starfleet, because Starfleet have a bunch of silly attribute personnel. The only problem is I had a lot of second edition personnel, and they're all sixes and fives,
yeah.
And even paired up with T'Pol. I think that was T'Pol was the one I saved because it was all right, nine and five. that's not greater than 14, is it? All right. Well,
no.
So that was tough. I got a lot of points in most of my games, either due to the whales or Parallax Arguers or doing one of my missions. The missions were surprisingly easy. The other reason I wanted to play this deck is I was looking for something that used that new 50-point mission from the anniversary set.
Yes.
And the personnel in this deck had all the skills, you know, in spades. They could have done it most of the time. But I ended up going to the cheap mission where you just need three alternate universe personnel and a couple investigate incursion or whatever. I should probably have the deck in front of me so I can look at it. You know, three alternate universe personnel, and I think it's physics or astrophysics or something, or engineer. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
AU mission. There was the Hide from the Worg mission, which was funny, because I played against Borg twice. The only problem is, you know, it's an interesting anti-battle card, except when you're playing against the Borg, they only have one ship anyway. So, in effect, it's bad for you, because then you can only fight back with one ship.
Hey, to be fair,
yeah,
I only played my second ship because you were actually getting to the point where I was kind of afraid you were actually going to come and attack me.
I was getting close, and it would have been those 50 points would have been nice, but... So in the end, the couple things kind of worked against me. One, my opponents. Two, that spatial interface was rough against Tui. But I made a change since the deck list online had the whales, but it didn't have the Cetacean Institute, which is odd. I don't know if they were hoping to play the whales on someone else's. Whatever. I really wanted to have those 50 points every time, so I took out File Annual Report and put it in the deck because it plays or seeds on Earth.
Right.
For the most part, you know, you're drawing through that deck a lot. You get two or three card draws every turn. And I got it in every game except when I needed it. I think it was either against you or against JD, I think. I didn't see it at all. My game against JD, he was not only playing a pretty quick Borg deck, but all of his dilemmas were, I'm going to stop you, you're going to lose points. I want to say that he let me have points for just about all of my... Parallax Arguers, and I end up losing them all to Edo Probes and Hire the Fewers, and I was pretty much at just mission points when I faced him. Mission points in the whales, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, by the end of that game, that was rough. I even went to the Delta Quadrant and tried to solve that mission just to see what I could find, but I think at the end, we were coming down to time, and I had three missions, and they all needed physics, and he had his mission debriefing out, and my Kevin... was massacred away because I was looking for something to get me a tractor beam. That's what it was. I need a tractor beam, and the Enterprise doesn't have one until you draw the grappler.
Right.
I had a second edition ship in my tent that I could get, but I needed the Admiral, so I was just drawing. Well, that was at the end of the game. He was drawing for his counterpart. I was drawing for either the Admiral or the grappler so I can get rid of his scouts, but didn't have enough range. So I managed to get a modified win out, but... So I lost. I won that game. I think I lost to you. You got your harness particle done pretty quick, and then came and did a mission, a homeworld mission. That was, man. I don't think I had very good dilemmas for the Borg. I had one good one that helped, that was pretty good, but that was about it. And then against Johnny, it was pretty much, he didn't let me have any of my acceleration cards, so he was able to pull out, even with doing an extra mission. In fact, I think he did three missions and had enough bonus points, because they were all big missions, to get to 140.
Right.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that both the other players went the other route of always giving you the points, because I've always felt like any time I give points, I end up regretting it, and that ends up being what turns the corner. In fact, I was playing Charlie, who was requesting the item, and I had already decided, you know, because I've had too many people, like, I don't think, like, they're only doing okay, and then it turns out the extra points they've gotten turns the corner before I realize it, and I lose by those many points. So I made the opposite decision. As soon as you dropped that first Parallax Augurs, I was like, play whatever you want. I know when I get to my stuff, I'm going to be blowing through it. And so I'm going to be good and follow the script and bide my time and just, you know, go ahead and play whatever you want. And if I had let Charlie have any points, he hit my dead end with 45 points.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
So I was like, I could see it going either way. I definitely see Johnny's point of, because my point is, well, if I give you too many points, that's a mission you don't have to do. So you're going to save all that time. But I guess Johnny's point is, if he lets you play all that stuff, then you'll get through all of your missions quicker.
Yeah.
So
what was
it could be a toss up.
Did you happen to know what Charlie was going to play those times that he was requesting the item?
No, I mean, well, yeah, I do, because he played it. I always let him play the card. I never gave him the points.
Was it acceleration stuff or just extra free plays?
They were just extra. I think one was an event and then a couple of personnel. So it was just another way of getting a free play. It wasn't like the way your events were working, because yours have to be events.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas he can play, you know, whatever card he decides to wager.
So he was playing Hirogen and holodeck stuff?
Yeah.
Was it the Iden route and the team of holograms, or just happened to have the holodeck and a few things?
It was a bit of each. He had holograms and the holoprojectors that he dropped on a planet. I happened to get lucky and have played my Edo Probe dead end combo where he decided to put his artifact, which was his method of turning the corner without having to go to the Alpha Quadrant. He was going to Genesis device and double the points on one of his planets, and he couldn't, you know, he stalled out because he was at 45 points, and that gave me enough time to catch up. But yeah, he actually got through a space mission pretty quickly, which hit Cytherians, and that was the ship that one was on. So I was like, all right, there's been a change of plans.
Did you go and reassemble
right
a lost drone?
Yep.
Nice.
You're welcome. I was gonna say thank you, but you should really. All your compliments to me should just be reflected back at you, because I'm literally playing with your deck plus five cards and a script that you gave me 5 years ago, or 4 years ago. So.
Yeah.
I at least studied it up again well enough to go, okay, well, this is the play here. As we say during Tribbles, the book says, you know, if I'm in the Delta Quadrant with you and you're got a Borg, you're more than likely going to have a Borg, so it's going to behoove me to slow you down by making you fear me and assimilate your guy. And since he was already down here and I could easily do it because I had Gowron, I blew up his ship with about a dozen people on it, 10, 12 people. He still had another ship with some other people, so he wasn't completely rebuilding, but it slowed him down enough to give me a little bit of breathing room. So, yeah, he definitely had a sufficient about 50-50, I think, Hirogen with holograms, because he had enough people to be out doing that, and those hunter ships just keep coming out. So
yeah.
I was glad to weed one down so I could not have to worry about losing 50 points or him gaining 50 points off of my tactical cube.
And so you played against me. You played against Charlie. Who was your third game? Thomas?
Thomas. Okay, so I have to rewind for this because playing Thomas first was I built the deck. I was like, I don't want to play the deck I already played because it was six planets and mirror stuff, and mirror stuff is about to come out, and I don't want to be repetitive. But I'm braid fried. I don't have time to create a new deck. What can I play that's just mechanical that I can just, I know what I'm going to do? Oh, mechanical. I haven't played Borg in a while. You know, I keep meaning to play Dan's old Borg deck that he taught me to play after Gen Con so many years ago. And I went 6-0 in that tournament online, which was another thing I remembered as I was looking at it. I've never played this deck in person.
Huh.
I've only ever played it on Lackey. So I was impressed that I had all the cards. I put it together. I pulled out my notepad document of the notes I jotted down as you taught me how to play over Lackey. And I was like, okay, you do this, you do that, you do that. And like 1 o'clock before the tournament, I'm like, all right, I've got it built. I've got all the cards. I'm remembering how to play this. This looks good. Is there anything else I need to add? There's not a lot of board cuts have come out. Resistance is Futile came out, but there's only a little bit in there. I didn't want to change things up too much. And all these other stuff has come out, TNG, DS9, none of that matters. Oh, wait. There's the thing in TNG that came out called General Quarters. And completely destroys how this deck usually plays, by my recollection.
It was a massively personnel downloading, yeah. It got around Shapeshift Inhibitor, because Shapeshift Inhibitor excludes Borg, and that was the anti-download card before that. But yeah, that downloads a lot of cards, a lot of personnel.
Convert, you know, you get 3, 4, 5 card draws per turn with various things and convert them all into drones. And I was like, at that point I almost dropped. I almost emailed Charlie and say, yeah, I can't come. My deck doesn't work. But then I was like, okay, well, there's this other stuff. I threw in some allocate resources because you can download that. It's an adapt card. So I could easily get to... We are the Borg. And I was like, well, if we have a few more card draws, we've got several plays, maybe I can do it the old-fashioned way. It's not going to be the super fast machine that it once was, but it will still be decent. Maybe I won't completely hate my life by the end of the tournament. I played through it a couple of times and was like, okay, this is not warp speed, but it's chugging along at, you know, full impulse. So we'll give it a shot. And then I get to the tournament, and I'm paired again. I spent the rest of the turn, the time between before the tournament, adapting it to the current meta, relearning how to play it a bit. And the first round, I get paired against Thomas, who doesn't play with a ref side deck on principle, which meant I was suddenly weapons free, and I had to. I thought my brain was going to explode because it's like, I know how to play this. I have to relearn how to play this. And not only, wait, now I can go back to playing it the other way, and then I will have to relearn it how to play it a third time.
Yes.
And so I blame my timed win on the fact that I, even though I was trying to remind myself that I could do all this stuff, I had come in expecting to do a scripted game, and I had adjusted my script. And so my first 3 or 4 turns, I forgot that I could keep doing all the downloading that you're supposed to be doing, and had held myself back to 1 downloaded personnel per turn. And, you know, I still managed to hold them off with some good dilemmas. Thank you. and do some good, you know, I got my first objective off, and I would have probed for my second and only objective the next turn, but it was definitely an adventure getting to play it. And then somewhere along our game, fairly early, at some point I had the epiphany or the realization, the remembrance that you can still download those cards in place of card draws, they just can go to your hand.
Right. Yeah,
which
yeah. Especially if you've got a lot of free plays, you might as well just, I mean, it'll stall you a turn, but, right?
But it's not, it's just that first turn. So you get all those cards and they come out the next turn, but you're still basically doing the same thing as just a rolling sort of system. And so once I realized that, that took me from full impulse back up to, I don't know, warp 7, maybe 8 instead of 10, but or 11. So that was very helpful, and that picked me up in my game against you and my game against Charlie. And I joked with Charlie because I kind of had sidebarred this to him when we started, and I sat down against him, and he was in the Delta Quadrant, and he had that mission, and he was going to get one, and I'm like, oh, man, I have to break script a third time. This was not what I had in mind. Now I'm going to go assimilate counterpart or assimilate Lost Drone. So,
well,
unexpected flexing of my Borg muscles.
Well, yeah, well played. So you went undefeated on the day and won all three rounds, so you win the tournament. Congratulations. Deck still works.
It does.
No, it was fun.
It holds up.
It was fun to watch from the other side because I remember all the things that could happen to it, and I just was a turn or two away from making those happen all the time. As like when we set up, you made some comment about something, and I let it pass, and then you dropped a card, and I didn't see it, and you said, "Well, I guess the secret's gone or something," and I'm like, all right, what are you doing?
I said, it was like, not like you don't already know everything I'm going to do anyway. And you were like, yeah, you'd like to think that.
Yeah. So when you put out your missions, I'm like, that just looks damn familiar. And so I kind of shuffled things around. I didn't have the one, like I said, the one thing that this deck didn't have is a lot of anti-Borg stuff. There was one dilemma that was really good. For the life of me, I can't remember what it was. Some kind of being on the surface. If your people had strength less than 6 and cunning less than 9, they were all dead.
Oh, the
like
flash plasma storm.
Yeah, that worked really well.
I almost dropped everyone, and I was like, nah, maybe I'll send half a crew.
Yeah.
And oh wow, was I glad.
Yeah, that would have done well. So I think I stopped you a turn there, but everything else you walked through pretty quickly. I had one point. And had I read the cards, I might have actually done it. You had just dropped your harness particle, or you changed the plans for harness particle over there. And I had a ship with plenty of range and plenty of weapons. But I was playing the wormhole missions, and I had wormholes in my hand. And I'm reading the wormholes, and it says, you know, you go through the wormhole and you're stopped. Well, that's not how it works if you use the actual missions. If you use the mission and flip the mission over, you just keep going. There's no stopping, because you're not playing the wormhole as a wormhole. You're just playing it at that location to actuate the wormhole mission itself. So I could have wormhole directly to you by flipping the mission over and playing the wormhole over there, and then I could have attacked on the next turn, and you wouldn't be able to probe. And if you counterattacked, I still would have been okay, because my shields were high enough that I could take a couple of hits. And I had the remove a damage marker card, and I had the there's a remove a damage marker backwards compatible person, and there is in card in hand. Were you playing with tactics? I don't remember.
No.
All right. Then that one, the other one wouldn't have mattered. Ship out of danger, needs of the many. Had that packed in there too. That would have worked well against JD. He was playing the battle bridge, but. It would have stalled you for 2 turns, I think. But I don't know if that would have been enough. It definitely would have made things interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about it at the time, and you were like, wipe the board, both of us start over?
Yeah.
And you're like, and it's like, no. And then I remember thinking, well, if you do that, you can keep me from probing, and I'll lose my objective, but I will have a turn, the turn that it counts down to blow up, to get the hell out of Dodge.
Right.
And then you will be stuck there and blowing up. And so you'll have thwarted my mission, but I will still have a cube to run over and do a different objective, whereas you would have to start over. So it's like, go for it if you want to.
Yeah, I think it would have been an interesting play. Turns out it would have been the right play because I lost. You know, that would have probably made a difference. I feel like I could have rebuilt. You probably, and knowing the deck, losing that objective would have made things really difficult for you, because there's...
Well, it would certainly have slowed me down. I don't think I would definitely not have been within a full within reach of a full win. I think the bigger hindrance would have been losing the facility, because trying to rebuild is kind of a lot of it was you know, getting that extra person from the Unicomplex, mm-hmm. and not having that. And I'd have to go somewhere else. I'd only get a couple of people.
At least you didn't put it on the Transwarp Hub, because that would have ruined your way to get to the Alpha Quadrant altogether.
Yeah, I learned that previously.
Yeah. So remind me, is you've got Assimilate Homeworld in there for the rest of your points. Aside from Reassimilate Lost Ruin, is there another objective in there for more points?
There is an Assimilate Planet. There's an Assimilate Planet for that random Klingon mission, so that Gowron of Borg can go over there and still probe on the same turn.
Okay.
I remember there being as well, so Weyoun works as well.
Yes, I remember there being a contingency plan because I played against when I played it at Worlds, I was just out of the top four, and I had assumed that I was going to, if I made it to the top four, I was going to have to play against the same person again. So the first time you go through, you do the standard harness particle and then the homeworld. The second time through, you do a different objective on the trail end, because they know where you're going. They put all the other domas there. So now you go to the planet with Resistance to the Futile or something and score the extra points that way.
There is a Resistance of Futile in there. Yeah. I was also bouncing. When you change your plans, you can bounce the established gateway to hand.
Yes.
I was doing that just in case.
All right. Well, it would have been entertaining. Had this been an online game, you know, we could have made a save point and then go back to it and try it again. But difficult to do in real life. Anyway,
yes.
Like I said, this is the first time I've been up for a tournament in a long time, and we were both there. It was a good time. It was a good day. And congratulations on your win.
Thank you. I was excited. I was a little disappointed that we at first I was excited that we got to play Tribbles, but knowing that Johnny was playing in the Delta Quadrant and JD was playing Borg, I kind of bummed not to have got to play those games, because they would have been really interesting.
JD was Alpha Quadrant only, so there probably wouldn't have been much interaction until mid-game. Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, and he was going for a different headquarters since he was going for Earth. So that would have been a weird game, I think. I don't think there's... Looking at the dilemmas, it was, just things to slow you down. I don't think it would have mattered very much. I think he would have probably walked through that in the mirror match, so to speak. I think he would have had an interesting day against Johnny. He probably would have had a chance to reassimilate 7, because he played her pretty early on. And blowing up Voyager would have been fun. On the other hand, I don't know if he was playing in the landing stuff, so he might have been able to play keep away from you while he was doing his big missions.
Mm. But with the blue alert, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, good showing. And then we played Tribbles. And this is the first time a couple of the locals got to see the Trouble Piles. So that was fun.
Yeah, I had to remember how to play.
It's funny because I immediately came home, and I think either the next day or today, sometime in the past couple days, I made a new Tribbles deck for the first time in a while, because I remember seeing some things at Gen Con I wanted to try out, mash a couple of decks together. So
nice.
Next time I'll bring something new. That'll be fun. But once again, you won again. So congratulations for the double win, right? You went over a million. Were you playing everything bleeds together.
Discard Tally Masaka.
Yes, Discard Tally. Yeah. So you went out a lot, right? Not for a lot of points. It was a lot of Tally points, right?
The early ones were not for a lot. I went out for 100,000 and then 300,000, I think. And that was only because of that trouble coming up where you have to mill a card every time. You know, at the beginning of every player's turn, you take the top card of your deck, put it beneath.
That's
and
right.
And I think I had the least amount of points of anybody at the table.
If anyone else had gone out, that would have been a completely different match. That's for certain.
Yeah. So most of mine were as the discard deck should, you know, just trying to go out so that other people don't. And then, you know, I got a bunch of points off Tally. And then I got a big... I went out for a lot later, which ended up being the over-the-top.
Well, it was a good weekend. Good to see everybody. And I think Matt showed up and took Johnny's place for triple, so we still had six for each. Is that right?
We did. Awesome. That is correct.
Very good. So let's see. What else do we have to talk about? We got the Dragon Con. We got the 1E tournament. I know we've got a 1E spoiler.
Spoiler.
And we are going to skip over, since we're already long, we're going to skip over the animated series. We'll talk about it next time. So for those of you viewing at home, make sure you catch up. And what was the episode after? What was the episode that we watched?
We watched something about magic.
Yes. All right. Why don't you start talking about the...
All right. Well, our spoiler is an event, and it is a conversion, but it is a long-awaited one, I think. This goes back... This is a broken link all the way back to TNG and, I believe, Kaelas. Kaelas the Unforgettable has... this special download of Warrior's Birthright, which is another card that goes way back. I believe that's either Premier or Energize. I want to say Premier, which means it will probably be Energize, but very early 2E. And it does essentially the same thing, but it's somewhat expanded to include some affiliations that you might think would also like to use a card like this. So it reads, plays on your mission. You are... And these are affiliation icons, not spelled out races. Your Klingon, Kazon, Hirogen, Terran Empire, and KCA personnel may contribute their strength instead towards integrity and cunning requirements of mission and dilemmas here. This feels incredibly awkwardly worded for something that we kind of already know what it should do.
Yes, it does pretty much what the other one did, except it expands out to all these different affiliations. So you can use, so you can use your strength instead of integrity and cunning, for mission and dilemmas, right?
Yeah. Now one thing that I always kind of felt like, and this I may have just been wrong the whole time, but this wording does seem to make an exception for, is I thought in the 2E version it was like you played it. And then you get to use your strength instead of integrity or cunning. But if you don't use strength, then you have to use integrity or you have to use cunning, whatever it lists there. But this makes it sound like you get to make that choice for each individual personnel based on these affiliations. So if you have some people who are... This lists personnel, you know, and it says they may contribute instead of these things. So, oh, well, this guy's got more integrity, so he can stick with integrity, but this guy's really strong, so he can use his strength.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice and flexible. That's pretty good. I will say, I think, for those of you who are not watching the video, this is the same picture from the 2E card. It has a DS9 property logo. The number is 22V, and... I want to say this is the same text, right? A Klingon proverb holds that if a warrior does not fight, he does not breathe. That's the lore. It's a two-line lore and four-line game text.
Yeah. Definitely the same image.
Yeah. I want to say this is this was probably pulled out of the file because we've had this one, done and ready to go for quite a while. But I think the two icons at the end there, the Terran Empire and KCA, might have been tacked on. And it makes great sense for the block we're doing right now, so that's perfect.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure I understand the way the end is punctuated. Why is it towards integrity and cunning requirements of mission and dilemmas here?
Yeah, there probably shouldn't be a comma after mission, right?
Of this mission, or... I don't know.
Because it plays on your mission, so that's what it's talking about. Requirements of mission and dilemmas here. Yeah, I don't think it needs that comma, but...
No, definitely doesn't need that comma.
All right, well, I got some time. this, of course, has the bottom left little gray conversion icon, as it is a conversion of a second edition card. So one more card off of the big list. And as you said, this is certainly one that's been in the works for a while, Broken Link for a while, and it'd be nice to see.
Definitely excited to see that coming out in the crossover, as well as all of these new cards we're seeing. There's some really interesting things coming out.
I got to talk our chat over on the boards with a couple of folks trying to figure out how to best abuse one of the dilemmas on the that was shown. I think it was shown on the Twitter or no, that was something else. It's under the Seek Out New Life Use thread. People are talking about the dilemma DNA security scan, which is a new one.
Really strong.
Yeah. There are a number of ways to get a number of objectives in your discard pile on the first turn. So it is very easy to pump that up to 6 by turn 2. So that's going to be a 90-point wall, a 90-counting wall, unless you're playing with scan cycle checks, you know. So for a couple of seeds, you can get that. You can play with pretty much a 1 or 2 card combo. You know, you imagine cunning 90, and then this followed by Scytherians, or you know, higher the fewer, or both, right?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, that could be fun.
What's it called? The one I was fearing all weekend. Wharfs everywhere.
Oh yeah, you have too many people.
Yeah. Fracture
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Yeah, that because you're going to have probably 10 to 12 people here to
yeah,
do this.
At least.
So, yeah, this Fracture Time and then Scytherians would be pretty rough. Yeah, good conversion. That's going to be, I think it has some teeth. It does take some setup, and there's an out with that interrupt. But I don't think I've seen Scan Cycle Check ever played. But
I was going to say, unless somebody's downloading it.
Yeah.
You know, this sounds like one of those interrupts that this seems like a good idea, but nobody plays with it until it's on a special download on somebody, and then it'll be get thrown in the tent.
Yeah. So a lot of good conversation going on the board. Check it out. A lot of new cards being posted every day, and I am actually there's a new article posted today as well about one of the oldest community members, Jeremy Commander, has a game on Kickstarter. So we've got an ad up for that. I'm really thinking about picking it up because it's similar to a style of game that a lot of us in our game group like, and there's actually a $10 option for just print and play, so I might be going for that. We'll talk about it on Friday during our normal game night, I think.
Sounds good.
But I think we're at a loss for anything else, right?
I agree. We've covered a con, we covered a tournament that we were both at, and a spoiler. I think we're going to have to save something to talk about for next week, including the animated series. So if you're following along with that, make sure you're caught up.
Once
so
Upon a Planet.
About that.
Once Upon a Planet.
Once
is
Upon a Planet.
Yep.
That's the one. So that will be something that we can talk about next week. In the meantime, we are out of intelligence for this week. I'll give a shout out to Warp 11 because they rock. Thanks to everybody who came out to the tournament this week. It was great to play with everyone again and have us all there. That was a lot of fun. And I look forward to doing it in 2 weeks. There's a 2-week tournament. And then likely in 2 weeks after that, we'll have another 1E tournament, maybe some sealed or draft. I bought a tin at Gen Con, and I'm very eager to make use of that. So we'll have to talk about that. In the meantime,
it was an interesting idea for a tin draft floated out there. I think we should look into that. But anyway, yes, we'll talk about that.
Excellent. All right. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
I will draw that.
You cannot hide and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31.